All money and resources were spent on a pointless search. But at the last minute, Providence smiled upon us. Before the first man hour could be wasted tromping through the woods, activity was discovered on Ed's credit cards. Moreover, surveillance video clearly showed him at a local sporting goods store purchasing camping and hunting equipment, as well as an eyebrow-lifting amount of ammunition. At that point, the entire thing had been viewed as out of character for Ed, but the authorities had no choice but to simply shrug and chalk it up to a possible early midlife crisis. After all, there was nothing illegal about a grown man suddenly deciding to go on an extended camping or hunting trip. But a few days ago, an anonymous caller tipped off the cops that Ed was responsible for the recent series of decapitation murders. Within no time at all, search warrants were obtained, and incriminating evidence in the form of bloodied clothing was found in his apartment. But the real mystery was that Marcus had sworn up, down, and sideways that he hadn't called in the tip. And I certainly hadn't. So who the heck could have known Ed was the killer? And more importantly, did they know that the victims were zombies? "It's tough for Marcus," I told Ben. "He's known Ed most of his life. I just hope Ed is really gone." I gave a shudder that I didn't have to fake. Ben scowled. "Yeah, well, I want to catch him before he does it again." He muttered a curse. "It fucking kills me that he was under our noses this entire time." I didn't trust myself to speak, so I simply gave him a sympathetic grimace as guilt curled through me. I'd let him go. And I wasn't so convinced Ed was long gone. I'd scared him off, but I found it hard to believe that he would have picked up and relocated, leaving two monsters like Marcus and me to roam free. Despite my reluctance, I found myself looking over toward the cadaver dog and handler who'd been called in to help locate the source of the dead body smell. The petite woman was still sitting on the steps to the foreman's office, her dog sitting patiently at her feet. Part of me wanted to avoid talking to her at all costs, but I knew that was the coward's way out. And while I was really damn good at being a coward, I was trying hard to change my ways. Besides, this woman sure as hell didn't deserve to be shunned by me or anyone else, simply because she was Ed's girlfriend. And I knew she was having a tough enough time of it as it was. Forcing a friendly smile onto my face, I made my way over to Marianne. The sun was low enough in the sky to paint a broad swath of the floor in jagged shadows as it filtered through broken and grime-streaked windows, and I had to shield my eyes from the glare of the sun off the river as I approached. She looked up as I neared, eyes wary and haunted. "Hey, Marianne," I said. "Hey, Kudzu," I said to the dog as I scratched its head. It gave me what had to be a puzzled look. Kudzu was a cadaver dog, and I had a feeling I confused the hell out of it. I smelled dead, yet I kept moving around. "Hi, Angel," the dark-haired woman replied, wariness fading slightly. "How you holding up?"
"Shitty,"
she said with a wavering smile.
"But at least they seem to be done questioning me."
I gave a grimace of sympathy. "Yeah, Marcus had to go through that as well." It only made sense that, as soon as Ed was established as a suspect, the people closest to him should be grilled in case there was anything they could add to the investigation and search for him. I could only imagine it was even harder for Marianne, since they surely had to wonder if she'd been involved in any way. But apparently she'd requested to take polygraphs and voice stress analysis or whatever the heck was used nowadays in order to prove her innocence, and it had been enough to clear her of any suspicion. Personally, I was relieved she didn't seem to be involved. I didn't know her all that well, but from what I'd seen, she seemed to be a genuinely nice person. It was bad enough that I'd been snowed by Ed. If Marianne had also turned out to be a zombie killer, I'd have been seriously pissed. A loud crash made us both jump. I spun to see that the workman had peeled up an entire section of flooring and tossed it aside. "Time for me to get back to work," I said. On impulse, I leaned in and gave her a quick hug. "Hang in there. Shit gets better." She seemed shocked at first, then relaxed and returned the hug. When I released her, she gave me a grateful smile.
"Thanks, Angel. Maybe we can do lunch or something sometime."
"I'd like that," I replied, only lying a little.
I'd feel much better about hanging out with her once I knew for certain Ed wasn't lurking somewhere close. Squaring my shoulders, I made my way back to help separate the corpse from the wreckage. At least I had the legendary iron stomach going for me.
We hope you enjoyed this free preview of Even White Trash Zombies Get the Blues, book 2 in the White Trash Zombie series. To keep the story going, get the complete book today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.